Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Deflected by Hartenstein, throws it ahead. Wallace goes up for the layup. It's good. Siakam goes right at Holmgren, stops. Back up top. Neesmith shot blocked. Gilgeous Alexander. Siakam picks it up. His turnaround. In and out. Rebound. Holmgren. McConnell goes right at Holmgren. Pulls back out again. Across the lane. Spins. Finds Neesmith. Blocked by Holmgren. Dort the save. Indiana, which has been able to score points in a hurry all season long, one of the best offensive teams. Shot blocked by Holmgren on the follow. McConnell's back in the game. He was the spark in the third. Drives inside. Blocked by Holmgren once again. The Thunder have taken the NBA by storm. For the first time, the NBA champion resides in Oklahoma City. The storybook season is complete.
There was a weird game seven, a serious game-impacting injury very early in that game, a sloppy at times game, but Oklahoma City, make no mistake, from the beginning of the 2024-2025 NBA season, they were the best team all season long, including over the last 2 months during the postseason, and they are a deserving NBA champion. Good morning. If you're wondering, and I'm sure you weren't until I decided to mention this because I just saw it right before the show started, the Wizards are the longest of long shots in 2025-2026 to win the NBA title, 500-1. But if your glass is half full, the Thunder 2 years ago, entering the 2022-2023 season, they too were 500-1, the longest of long shots to win the NBA title. They were coming off back-to-back seasons of 24 wins and 22 wins as they had gone tank mode with Sam Presti as the GM. Will Dawkins was a part of that. He is currently the Wizards general manager, if you did not know. But the Thunder just 2 years ago, before the 2022-2023 season, were listed as the longest of long shots at 500-1. They won 40 games that year. Of course, last year, they were a significant threat entering the postseason, and here they are as NBA champions. So, you never know. You never know. The Wizards are doing it the right way. There are no guarantees. But literally 2 years after having the longest odds to win the NBA title, the Thunder are NBA champions. All right, I'm going to recap last night's Game 7 in a few minutes because we also have to talk about the devastating injury to Tyrese Haliburton early in that game. But I want to take 2 minutes to talk about the passing of Federal Express founder Fred Smith over the weekend. Sympathies out to his family. Arthur Smith, of course, is the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh. There are son-in-laws, there are daughter-in-laws, and some of those people are very familiar with this team and this area, and my sympathies out to all of them. A great entrepreneur, for sure, with a great story. If you've never read the FedEx story, it includes, you know, this story told once by Fred Smith that in the company's early days, it was one of those situations where this entrepreneurial, you know, startup, which, you know, had significant funding at this point, but was down to the last $5,000 to $10,000. They couldn't fuel planes, they couldn't make payroll. And Fred Smith went to Vegas with $5,000 of company money and won $27,000 playing blackjack. Doesn't seem like a lot, but apparently it kept the company alive for a few weeks, just long enough to attract new investors that came in. The new investors came in, saved the company, and they were off and running. He was quite the American business story and entrepreneurial story over the last 50 years. Of course, we also know here in D.C. Fred Smith, because, along with Dwight Schar and Robert Rothman, they were Dan Snyder's partners. They were 40% owners, the three of them, Smith, Schar, and Rothman, of the Washington Redskins. They were bought out in 2021 for what turned out to be not the greatest of values for them. The three of them at the time owned 40.5% of the team. They sold their stake at a valuation of roughly $2.4 billion. Of course, the team would sell 2 years later for just over $6 billion. Now, whenever you sell a minority share, you're never going to get the full valuation because you're selling that minority share to somebody who can't take maximum share or a majority share. Now, they sold it back to Dan Snyder, but still, the valuation was light, and the fight over that valuation and what they got for the team, I think, continues to this day. They feel like Snyder schnookered them with some numbers that were left out and some things along the way that were not on the up and up. The three minority owners could not stand Snyder at the end, like everybody. You know, anybody that ended up doing business with Snyder couldn't stand him and didn't trust him. They felt and still do to this day they were lied to. Remember, Snyder stopping the dividend checks to the three minority owners really set in motion what would ultimately lead to Snyder selling the team, and of course something else related to Fred Smith, which I'll get to in a moment. But Snyder, like I would say during those times, and as the stories came out after, with one investigation after another, nobody took a 2x4 and hit himself in the head harder and more often than Snyder did. He was so impulsive, he could not strategically ever see more than just the next step. And stopping the minority share dividend checks, stopping the providing of overall financials to the minority owners, really started to get them into the mode of going really ruthless, you know, war, scorched earth on Snyder. They were in revenge, vindictive mode. You know, Schar, remember, through some Indian internet company, allegedly launched an internet smear campaign against Snyder. You know, Schar is never allowed to own even one penny of equity in an NFL team. He went after Snyder, and maybe, you know, allegedly a very unethical way. Fred Smith went for the jugular. Smith went for the name. In the summer of 2020, when everything was getting canceled, understood the environment was right for it, but Fred Smith, in vindictive and in revenge mode against a guy he could not stand, nor could the others, Fred Smith, after years of making millions off the Redskins brand as both a marketing partner, you know, stadium naming partner, and a minority shareholder and owner of the team, he went ruthless, war on Snyder, and announced in early July of 2020 that Federal Express would be dropping the team as a partner unless they got rid of the name. There it was, you know, July 3rd, 2020, the bombshell for the majority of fans. Quote, we have communicated to the team in Washington our request that they change the team name. We've been in conversations with the NFL and Washington management for a few weeks about the issue. We believe it is time for a change. They claimed in the moment it was growing pressure from investors who opposed the team name. But Fred Smith had always pushed back on all of that, as had everybody else, because everybody knew what the real deal was. The real deal was Native Americans themselves. It was a very complicated issue. They overwhelmingly in polls did not think the same way that non-natives thought, or some non-natives thought, that this was an insensitive, racist name, regardless of, yes, it is dictionary defined that way. So Smith went for the jugular, and he forced Washington in that moment to change the team name. The team was starting to hurt a lot from the years of ineptitude, the years of incompetence, the years of treating not only their own people poorly, but their customer base very poorly. And Snyder succumbed. Fred Smith did that. And I would suggest even to this day that he didn't all of a sudden become virtuous. It was more vindictive. And look, Snyder is the reason that these three minority shareholders were angry and pissed. They had been lied to. They had it with him. But it's all on Snyder for creating that environment where Fred Smith felt like, yeah, really? No dividend checks? Bad numbers? Okay, look at what I'm going to do now, because the environment's actually right for us to do this, and I can get away with it. Yeah, so the summer of 2020 gave him the chance to do something that I think, you know, look, it's complicated, no doubt. You know, in the relationship between the minority owners and Snyder at the time was very, very bad. And Snyder brought all this on himself. He's the one to blame. I'm not blaming Fred Smith, but he was ultimately, in that moment, I think, more vindictive and more revengeful in mode than all of a sudden, oh, it just occurred to me after all of these years, it's a racist name. We need to get rid of it. And there you go. And here we are today. By the way, something a little bit later on in the show about uniforms. I guess there was a lot about the spear, the arrow, the feather helmet last week. I saw a lot of it last night when I was getting ready for today's show. So I do, you know, I've known a lot about the uniform situation, as I shared with you, you know, last fall. And I'll just update that coming up on the show today. But rest in peace, Fred Smith, one hell of an entrepreneur for sure. And look, those three minority shareholders were on some level very important in starting the process that led to all of the investigations. And I give the Post a lot of credit for sure. That story in July of 2020, when it went from, you know, the first 16 to eventually 40 some women, all of those women that came forward, everybody had a hand in ultimately starting that process of forcing Dan Snyder to sell the team. But man, what a couple of years. Anyway, Fred Smith, rest in peace, dead at the age of 80 years old. All right, the NBA Finals last night. Wow, man, I was so pumped up for this game. I did not bet the game. I didn't like the game. I think I mentioned this on Friday. I just felt like anything could happen. Indiana had proved, you know, over the first six games that they were more than capable of winning Game 7. And I thought they had a chance going into Game 7 last night. I did. I didn't know what would happen. I knew this. Oklahoma City and their defense carried them throughout the year, carried them in the postseason. And if they played at that elite defensive level, they were going to be tough to beat at home. But at the same time, the Pacers are just much better coached, especially on offense. And they had so many different options offensively. And of course, the Halliburton injury discussion sort of took a back seat after he had a really solid game six. Now, he only had to play 23 minutes in that game, but I thought heading into last night, anything was possible. You know, I did not bet the game. I had so many people reach out to me to say, who do you like? I'm like, I don't like anybody. Denton, you know, sent me a text right before the show. He said, I'm not sure I did the right thing, but I just laid this 6.5 with Oklahoma City. And I'm like, I don't know if you did the right thing or not. I'm sitting this one out. I'm just going to enjoy it. And I was really hoping for a competitive game. The problem with this series is that you didn't have anything in terms of a dramatic, compelling finish except for game one, which came out of nowhere. And it was stunning, no doubt. It was stunning in game one. But yeah, after that, 16-point win, 9-point win, 7-point margin of victory, 11, 17, and then last night, 12. I was just hoping for something memorable at the end. And we didn't get that. We didn't get that at all. It was, you know, a game in which it really turned early with the injury to Tyrese Halliburton. Look, we talked about calf strains last week. You know, they are not shoulder strains. They're not ankle, you know, injuries. They're not, you know, there are a lot of injuries that you're like, yeah, you got to give it a go. You got to get out there. But we talked about this. Calf strains, especially if they're on the more serious side, what is potentially the result of playing on it, which is why almost every player that ever has a calf strain sits for games, plural, is that a torn Achilles, a ruptured Achilles is possible. That's what comes next. And that's what you saw, man. It was so obvious in the moment. You know, anybody that's ever done it, I have not, but I've been on, you know, pickup basketball courts as recently as 4 or 5 years ago where you hear the pop. You know, it happens with older guys, obviously, more so than with younger guys. But we've seen it, just the proliferation of Achilles injuries in the last few years. And I know there's a lot that's been written about that and, you know, why it's happened more and more. But you knew it. And it was such a shame because, you know, Tyrese Halliburton can be hot and cold, man. You know, he can come out and in a lot of these games, we've seen him come out and not do much. And it sort of carries throughout the game. But when he starts quickly, he has a chance to make a massive impact as a very good player, a star player, just not a superstar, in my opinion, but a star player. And he hit three threes to start the game. And it was like, uh-oh. I mean, I really did think the way Indiana started and the way Halliburton started in particular, I'm like, Indiana can definitely win this game.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And I'll tell you what, when he left the game, I still thought Indiana could hang in there and could have a chance because McConnell had played so well throughout the postseason, so well. And he played really well last night. Now, you saw it when a lot more is expected of him, you know, because you're not just a role player, but now you're taking over starters' minutes. He's a bit of a turnover machine, which really hurt them last night. It was defensive forced mostly. But we'll never know what would have happened had Halliburton played, but it wouldn't have been an easy, you know, they had at one point a 22-point lead. It would not have been an easy win for Oklahoma City. It's a shame, really, really a shame, because Halliburton had one of those games, and if you've watched him all postseason long, when he starts well, he usually has a big-time game. When he starts slowly, sometimes you're like, where is he? Like, what happened to Halliburton tonight? We saw 4 or 5 of those games during the postseason. But when he started quickly like last night, and some of those threes were bombs. And look, they on the play in which he got hurt, that was a strong closeout because they didn't want him to get another one off. And then he was into playmaking mode, but that thing popped. And, you know, we'll find out, you know, how serious the tear or the rupture is. And, you know, that can be an 8-month-plus injury, of course, as everybody understands. But there's no way you can say that that didn't impact last night's game. At the very least, Indiana is much more competitive in the game and has a chance throughout. And you can say that they had a chance even down 10 with 3 minutes to go, you know, when they were, you know, cut 22 down to 10. Now, Oklahoma City, look, I've talked about this since early, you know, in the first round, certainly, you know, early second round, worst case, when I thought, look, I don't care how young they are. They're just so much better, and they're just so good defensively. What carried them over the course of this postseason to 16 wins, 84 on the season after 68 in the regular season, was their defense. And their defense, when it's on, is elite. All-time elite. I don't want to hear about the complaining, about the grabbing. Yeah, there was that TJ McConnell play with with Cason Wallace grabbing him. They let a lot go in this series. Indiana guarded very hard and very physically throughout the series as well. They let both teams get away with murder, no doubt, in this series. But Oklahoma City's defense, basically 1 through 9 or 10 players, everybody could defend. Everybody could guard any position. Everybody moved their feet and could stay in front of the basketball. Everybody closed out well. Everybody got deflections, had hands, anticipated well. This is one of the greatest defensive NBA teams I've ever seen. And I love the NBA, especially this time of year. You know, certainly some of the Bulls teams, the Pistons teams. This was, over the course of the last 2 months, when they were on defensively, it was, I enjoy watching that. I enjoy watching great, not just individual defense, team defense. They were exceptional as a team defense. And this goes to, you know, defense wins championships. It does in the NBA. When you get to the postseason, you've got to play great defense to win. And they played elite level defense. Last night, similar to game one, similar to the closing stretches of game four and moments in game five, they ended up in the game with 14 or 15 steals, forced 21 turnovers. Those 21 turnovers turned into, or 22 turnovers total, turned into 32 points. That's what Oklahoma City did all season and throughout the postseason. They were at their best, and they were near unstoppable, really, when their defense created their offense. Because the truth is, offensively, Oklahoma City was never overly impressive during this postseason. They're disorganized. They're unstructured. They're not very well coached offensively. They were very much streaky when it came to being a decent shooting team. Some nights exceptional, some nights not so much. I mean, they were, you know, they only shot 40.2% last night from the floor. They were 11 for 40 from behind the arc. Now, the three threes at 56-56 in the third quarter, I think, was the stretch of the game that gave them the breathing room, and then the defense just got turned up to a level that was just suffocating and smothering. And with no Haliburton out there, it was really tough for Indiana. I really don't want to hear about how the game, you know, had the life sucked out of it with the injury. I thought the intensity was still there. Now, people in the arena, Scott talked about this, others talked about it, that both teams seemed to be affected by it. All right, both teams were still playing exceptionally hard, especially on defense. The boxing out in Game 7 last night, just so over-the-top physical. Look, they let him get away with this stuff. All play, really all series long, for a lot of the playoffs as well. It was defense, ultimately. You know, yes, I do think that Tyrese Halliburton's absence last night, because of the way he started the game, was a major factor. We would have seen a much closer game, a game that perhaps could have gone either way at the end. I'm not saying that the injury cost Indiana a title, because I still thought throughout, even though I changed my mind, I was dead wrong at the beginning of this series, that Oklahoma City was demonstrably the better team. I mean, odds makers were obviously wrong as well. They were the fifth largest favorite in the history of the NBA Finals. Indiana proved and deserved to be in this thing and to have a chance to win it. But I still felt like even throughout, Oklahoma City would win this thing, you know, in seven. Once we got through game three, I'm like, this thing's going seven. And I still liked Oklahoma City to win it because I think defense ultimately wins. And Indiana's defense was great, too, throughout. But last night, the key was Oklahoma City's defense. Halliburton injury also, no doubt. But the way they turned up that defense in the third quarter, and they turned Indiana over, and they picked off balls, and they turned it into all of those points. That's where they're great, because I'll tell you what, man, they're painful at times to watch offensively in the half court. They're not very well structured. They are completely at times disorganized. I actually like what they do coming out of timeouts. It's like the only time they call set plays. But they just don't make defense work, you know, the defense work hard enough. It is way too stagnant. It's not, you know, Knicks, Jalen Brunson, you know, or James Harden style or Doncic style ISO ball exclusively. It isn't. And SGA is a wonderful playmaker. I mean, he had 12 assists last night to go with his 29 points. I did not think it was a great game for SGA. He was 8 for 27. He forced a lot of shots. He took, and they as a team, took a lot of bad shots and a lot of quick shots, you know, with the big lead. I'm not impressed with Oklahoma City in this series in particular against a well-coached team with the way they run offense. It ain't pretty, and it wasn't last night, but their defense is overwhelming. I mean, it's just too much to deal with, you know, in hopes of winning 4 out of 7 if they're going to defend the way they defended. And they're a great defensive team. How about Chet Holmgren last night? The block shots, he had 5 block shots. He must have altered another 4 or 5, you know, at the rim. When he puts on another 20, 25 pounds, hopefully, you can just see the talent level. It sucked. Halliburton got hurt. It really did, because I think we were headed towards something that would have been memorable. I still think Oklahoma City's defense probably would have won the day or the night, but we were, you know, kind of thieved out of one competitive game since game one because Halliburton got off to a great start. Siakam was outstanding in the first half, did not have a good third quarter, but the defense was a big factor. Without Halliburton in the game, they could really focus on Siakam. Siakam's been a big part, you know, as big a part as Halliburton as to why they were in a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. Lou Dort's defense, good God. I think the best team won the NBA title. You usually see that in best of sevens, in basketball in particular. But Indiana was something else, and well, you know, there will be a lot of questions as to whether or not Tyrese Halliburton, for the betterment of his career, should have played. You know, after that calf strain was diagnosed, he shouldn't have played maybe in Game 6. We knew this was possible. They had to know it was possible. But man, I don't know. Game 7 of the NBA Finals, you're going to tell a guy, especially when he had such a Game 6, to sit? Come on, that's not happening. These are the biggest stages. There is some risk that, you know, the player obviously wants to take, and the team has to be in some of these situations, you know, willing to allow the player to take. The franchise, I mean, this is what you're playing for. You're playing for a title. Two excellent teams, defensively in particular for Oklahoma City. A good series, not a memorable series, because there just weren't memorable. The most memorable moment was the injury in Game 7. By the way, the people that are comparing it to the Kevin Durant injury in 2019 when Toronto won. Toronto was up 3-1 in that series. Toronto was clearly the better team in that series. Of course, it ended any hope of a comeback in that series with no KD, but that's not comparable to this series, which was dead even. And in a Game 7 with this guy getting off early, hitting 3 deep threes to give them an early lead going down, this will certainly be remembered. Look, real quickly, actually, I'll come back with this. And we can open up phone lines at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your reaction to Oklahoma City winning the NBA Finals. Were they the best team? Would Indiana have won the game had Tyrese Halliburton stayed upright and not been injured last night? But I have some thoughts, too, on the season Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had. He became just the 4th player to win the scoring title, the league MVP, and the finals MVP with the title. But he's far different than the 3 that preceded him. We'll get to that next. Phone lines open, 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.